You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello and welcome into the Starcast Mark Studios. My name is Ryan, and here we'll be joined by Chris here in a second. This is the PGR for game number, it feels like game 500. For the Stars game against the Predators, Stars lose by a final score of 4-2 tonight in regulation. Still have not won in regulation, still the only team in the NHL to win a game in regulation. I should do the other stuff first before I start getting negative, but we are the official Dallas Stars podcast of the Hockey Podcast Network. Please make sure you follow us on all our social media accounts. And then also, we'd like to thank DraftKings for sponsoring us. Make sure you use the promo code THPN when you go and use their app for a special little offer from them. And that lets them know that we sent you. Would really appreciate that. At this time, we are going to go ahead and bring in Christian. Chris, how you doing, man?
It's hot in here in my apartment right now. It is 80 degrees because my building decided that now was the perfect time to change out their air conditioner. So
on a Wednesday night?
Oh, no. This has been a whole week thing. Yeah.
Dang.
And it's not going to fix until Monday, maybe, is what they said. So they couldn't have waited one more month. Before it got cool and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
No, they had to do it now. So
I mean, is it at least like cold outside? And that's why they decided to do it?
It got up to 80 degrees today.
It doesn't take a week to fix AC like that, though.
They said they have to replace the coolers. So let's get some AC people in the comments. Let me know. is that BS? I mean, what's going on here?
That's total BS. That's just... Y'all are a bunch of college students. You don't understand what we're talking about, and yeah, but whatever.
It's hot in here. That's all. That was the whole point of that.
Yep. Anyways, before we start off the PGR, we want to do a special shout out to brother number two, our brother Zach. He's the one that's in between age between me and Chris. He's getting married this Sunday. So if you guys would shoot some shout outs of love to Zach, would really appreciate that. Zach, we love you, buddy, and we're looking forward to seeing you this weekend. Anyways, Chris, how did you feel about that game just overall? What's your initial thoughts just coming out of this game?
I mean, like the majority of the games that have happened this season, I liked it except for the second period. But unfortunately, they scored two goals in the second period. So,
you actually got to watch the full game. I honestly only got to watch about, you know, maybe three quarters of the second and then the full third period. So I didn't get the full effect of it. So I'm not as mad as I probably would be if I had watched the whole game. But what's your emotions right now? Are they about the same as last game? Are they worse? Are you just kind of like, this is the new Dallas Stars? What's your feelings?
It's the exact same as it's been for pretty much most of the past seven games. It's the same crap, different day. Like we win in lots of statistical categories. We should have scored five goals. We end the night with two goals, only one 5-on-5 goal. Still, we still have that problem of 5-on-5 goals, and we can't capitalize when we're given the chances. I mean, the Predators gave us every opportunity to come back in the third period and win the game. They were full turtle mode. They had no idea what they were doing. We were pretty much in their offensive zone for 10 minutes straight from the moment we scored the goal until the end of the game. We were in the offensive zone, and we couldn't score a goal.
Still couldn't score another one, yeah.
So it's the same thing on a different day. And this podcast is going to sound real similar to the last podcast, but something's got to change, and nothing's changing.
And I'm even more starting to get on the bandwagon now to where, And you know, normally I wouldn't be this rash to get on the fire bonus train or whatever, but it's not even necessarily that I want Bonus fired, because I like Bonus. He's a nice guy. He's a good guy and everything. But the problem is that you're exactly right, Chris. Something needs to change, and something rash needs to happen, honestly. And the easiest and most rashest thing you can do is change the coach, you know, within the first, quarter of the season. Is that the answer right now?
Well, and it's not just because it's a crazy thing to do. It's also because, like, the team...
It seems to be the right thing to do right now.
Yeah, the team on paper is good, and even our stats tonight are good. We beat the Preds in almost every statistical category. The main one that we lost to them big in was block shots, but that's because we took so many more shots than they did. If you look at shot attempts, we are vastly more than they do. So, something's got to give. Like, we're beating them at every stat. We look great, and we're still losing. Like, I don't know how you can blame that on players.
I don't know what else to do. Let's blame it on Rope because he cut his hair.
Well, he finally scores, but we'll get into that in a second.
Right, exactly. Okay, so with the loss tonight, the Stars dropped to 4-6-2. They're 1-4-1, I believe, in their last six games. And this is starting to look a lot like last season, where they started 1-7-1. Or was that the year before? I think it was the year before they started 1-7-1. And some people will be like, oh, that's great. That means they're going to go to the Stanley Cup Final. Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean that. Anyways, let's get into just the scoring play-by-play stuff that we've got. So generally, as I was told and as I was explained, and when I looked at the highlights for the first period, the Stars and the Nashville Predators put on a pretty good first period from an entertainment perspective. Lots of chances going back and forth each way. You know, the Stars had their chances. Nashville had their chances. And it seemed like it was going to go into the second period scoreless. But then Ryan Johansson, who has been a lot better this year for the Nashville Predators, scores his fifth of the year from Janot and Trennan. And that's in the last minute of the period. Yeah. And those kind of goals in the last minute of the period can really, really, like, destroy a team. Yeah. And especially when it seems like it was a pretty even period overall.
Yeah, and we've had, like, five of them this year, too, already. So we're pretty good at giving those up, it seems like.
It continues on going into the second period. And again, this is where the Stars get outplayed. Tanner Janot, who assisted on the first goal, scores his fifth of the year from Tomasino and Ekholm, and that puts Nashville up 2-0.
Yeah.
And that was within the first couple minutes of the second period.
Yeah, first five. Yeah, it was another one off the rush, too. And that was the theme of tonight. Our defense against the rush was just terrible. We were just caught off guard on pretty much all of them. And there was a lot more that they could have gotten, too, that they just didn't get because they're honestly not that great of a team.
So let me jump onto that real quick now that I'm thinking about it, because it's bothering me and it's like nagging my brain trying to ask you this question. But one of the big things that I saw coming out of this game tonight was the odd man rushes on both sides of the puck for the Stars, the offensive side and the defensive side. And there's one in particular that on the offensive side of the puck that I'm thinking about, and we all talked about it in our little group chat, you, me, and James, is the fact that Michael Raffel did absolutely nothing with a 2-on-1.
A 2-on-1 and then a breakaway.
Yeah, and I mean... I don't even know what the issue is. It's just we can't cap. That's where we have to capitalize on our chances because we don't score goals. So when you get those chances, we have to be scoring those chances. 90% of the time, those sort of chances and opportunities need to go into the back of the net. And that didn't happen tonight on the offensive side.
Or else we're going to lose to a bad hockey team because we can't score goals. You're exactly right. And... you're right, that 2-on-1 was the perfect display of how bad we are offensively and then defensively. Raffel had a half a step on the defenseman. He could have just turned the corner and pile drove towards the net, not have to make any kind of athletic play. Instead, he passes it backwards on an odd man rush and gives the Predators a perfect outlet pass. They have a 3-on-1 going the other way, and Holtby lets his second somewhat soft goal go through. That's the other thing tonight. Holtby was not very good, and his stats are not going to not going to look good either. I mean, he gives up 3 goals on 22 shots. That's not great. They weren't terribly soft goals, but I mean, they were fully savable. We only scored 2 goals in regulation, so it's tough to blame it on that still.
And before I jump into the whole Holtby thing, because I was going to jump into that before you did, but on the defensive side of the puck, the turnovers, it seems like the last couple of games that we have given up turnovers like that that have led to goals. And that kind of goes back to what I said last PGR, that it feels like this is the team that was under Lindy Ruff. I mean, the only difference between Lindy Ruff...
Except we can't score?
Exactly.
It's like the bad part of Lindy Ruff?
That's exactly right. That is exactly what I was going to say. And it seemed like when Lindy Ruff was here, when those odd man rushes would go the other way, we're screwed. It's going in the back of our net before we could even... before it even happened, we knew it was going in the back of our net. And then I saw that 2-on-1. I knew immediately it was going in the back of our net. To jump onto the Holtby conversation as well. The first goal I can kind of understand. Mm-hmm. The second goal is the one that bothers me a little bit.
Yeah, I thought the first goal.
It was a good shot. Don't get me wrong. It was a very good shot from the angle that it was at, and Janot did really well for the angle that he was at, and it was like a forehand across the seam, and it was under his armpit too, which he but this all goes back to that he should have had that.
It's really savable, yeah. And I mean, I wouldn't say that he's the reason we lost tonight, but he's
right.
He definitely isn't the reason we won either. So if he makes that save, maybe we're talking about how great of a night Holtby had and how he saved us in the second period and we pulled out a win. But
no, we still wouldn't have pulled out a win. We only had 2 goals.
Well, they only had 2 goals until we let up the third one. So if we don't let up the second one, then boom, 2-2, overtime, then we lose and we get a point.
Analysis.
Exactly.
Perfect analysis from the Chambers.
But you know what I'm saying. He didn't step up and make a play either, and he didn't help us win the game. So.
Right. And the thing is that we've been able to rely on that kind of goaltending from Holtby, maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, but... You're not going to get that kind of goaltending every single game.
And we're talking about it, but that's still not the big issue. The big issue is still the scoring.
Right.
We still have less than 2 goals in regulation in like all but 3 games, I think, this season. We're on game 12.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. That's crazy. That's super crap. Like, come on. It's ridiculous. That's so the issue. Why we're losing, not the goaltending. Goaltending didn't help us tonight, but goodness, score some goals.
All right. Well, I guess we'll keep going with this. With the next.
We already talked about Matt Duchene. Go to Rope.
Yeah. So Matt Duchene makes it 3-0 for Nashville in the closing, minutes of the third period or second period, excuse me. And then Rope literally about 20 seconds later is just like gives us a little bit of false hope. He scores his first of the year and he finally gets a goal. It's not even a pretty goal. It just kind of bounces off of him, which don't care.
You got to go back and look at it. That was a pretty goal.
It pinballs
around, but he makes a great personal play. He catches the puck, throws it down to his stick and in one motion puts it into the back of the net. It was a crazy good athletic play by him. So definitely, if you think it was just a lucky pinball, go back, take a look at it. It was a pretty sweet play by Rope on that one.
Well, what I'm saying is that it wasn't like a highlight reel, kind of goal that you would expect from Rope or whatever. But
it wasn't a great setup, but it was a great play by him personally. And that's what he's been doing all year. He just finally put one in the back of the net.
So anyway, Hintz does get his first of the year. From Pavelski, and I believe it was Radulov?
Robertson.
No, Ben. Robertson. Robertson, okay. So that line
thinking about
of,
the next goal already.
Yeah, I'm already thinking of the next goal. So, anyways, those three guys, that line finally, gets clicking a little bit at least.
Well, they've continued to be good, especially on the power play. Nothing has slowed down. The only reason they've slowed down 5-on-5 is because Rope couldn't find the back of the net. But if this opens the dam and they start scoring a lot, we might be able to score more than 2 goals in regulation. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, and then here's the other thing. This is something that my group chat on Twitter brought up. It's just a bunch of Stars fans. Pavelski's on a 5-game point streak. mm-hmm. very quietly. Mm-hmm. And the problem is we can't, you know, champion those kind of things, the good things that are happening, because we're so... Because honestly,
no one else is doing anything.
Right. That kind of stuff doesn't matter because we're not winning the games. I mean, like, so we're getting goals from, like, Tyler Seguin. Jamie Benn looked pretty good tonight. You know, the...
Well, for parts of it. He looked pretty bad for parts of it, too.
He's looked better this past week than he had, you know, than the beginning of the season, I guess you could say.
That's not saying much, though. I mean, he had, like, no points in the first five games.
We still need him to do more. You're right. And then, you know, same thing with Robertson. We talked about Robertson last night, how he had two assists, but we really didn't care about that because they still lost the game. And I'm sure the players feel that exact same way, too. So, anyway, to get back on topic, Roope gives us a little bit of hope, and the score remains 3-1 in Nashville's favor going into the third period. And, you know, that second period, again, it was a period that we got outplayed, and I think it was James who gave us the... Give us the stat that we're minus 11 in goal differential in the second period. So, what is something that we need to do in order to fix that middle frame? Is it literally just, you know, play a full 60 minutes, or is there something specific that we can do in the middle frame?
It's a whole schematic thing. I mean, I'm really starting to think it has something to do with line changes, that they're not happening at appropriate times. Because both the goals this period in this game and the second period were both scored off the rush, both in weird situations. So I think that might have something to do with it. I think the timing of when the line changes are happening, like, we might not be doing it fast enough since we're a bunch of old guys. Maybe we play Gorjanov and Roope more in the second period and don't give the older guys a chance to not get back to the bench. I don't know. But I don't think through 12 games it could be a coincidence that we lose so terribly in the second period every single game, and something has to be done about it. But like I said, nothing's happening, really. Nothing's changing. We're just changing up lines and hoping something sticks, and that's not a real change.
Well, and James is being producer James today, so he's in the background listening to us as we talk, and he's letting us know. And that's a good point, James. That for both of those goals, we had tired lines on the ice. So and the other thing that we haven't been able to do is that when we do line changes, we're not getting the puck deep into the zone to where we can fully make the line change.
Which is crazy, because it seems like that's the only thing we do with the puck is get it deep.
Yeah, chip and chase, right? Or just chip. Or just dump. Just dump and chase, or just dump. It's not even dump. There's no chase involved whatsoever. So we go into the third period. Stars are down 2 goals. There's at least a little bit of hope, because, you know, at 3-0, I was like, oh, we're screwed, man. This game's over. You know, another good thing that we can talk about, despite all the, you know, still losing all these games, the power play continues to click along. For the fifth game in a row, the Stars score a power play goal.
And it's crazy how we have such a good power play, and we still can't score more than 2 goals. Like, that tells you how bad our 5-on-5 is. Yeah, James tells me it's third in the league is what our power play is right now.
That's insane for a team that is below 500 and doesn't have a freaking regulation.
No regulation wins.
This makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. I would be very curious to see what our penalty kill is right now, because our penalty kill probably isn't all that great, and I think that's one of the other reasons why we're down.
Yeah, month of November, we're like at 50% on the penalty kill.
That's stupid. But anyways, to get into the actual goal, Miro Heiskanen finishes it off from Radulov and Ben at 10:43 in the third, so that puts the Stars within one. And then from that point on until basically... the empty net goal that Colton Sisson scores at 19:17 of the third. It's just all Stars. I mean, just full court press going down into the zone and getting as many chances as possible, but still nothing 5-on-5.
And we had a ton of chances. And real quick, back to the goal. Miro Heiskanen is such a good player. Like, he outlets pass on the power play, gets all the way down, he goes straight to the far post, knows exactly where the puck's going to go, and he just slam dunks it. Like, he knew everything that was going to happen the moment the puck left his stick. His hockey IQ is insane. I don't understand how he can do that. So, I just thought right after that goal, I'm so happy that we spent so much money on that guy because he deserves every penny of it. Because plays like, and he's been doing that all year. That's another thing that we haven't been able to talk about because of how badly we've been this season, is that Miro Heiskanen has fully lived up to his contract so far. And right now, at game 12 of the season, he's fully in Norris talks. Like, today. Which we thought maybe 3 years from now he'll be in Norris conversations. But right now, he's in him currently, which is crazy.
Here's his stats. 11 games, 2 goals, 9 assists, 11 points. So he is a point-per-game player as a defenseman.
Yeah, crazy.
He's minus 4 right now, but that's mostly because he's playing, you know, 20 to 25 minutes a night.
Yeah, because he plays all the time on a bad hockey team.
On both sides of the puck. You know, the penalty kill and the power play, and does everything for the Stars.
Yep.
So you kind of answered my question for me already, but my next question was, should he be in, you know, talks for the Norris? Is that even a thing that should be possible with the way, even though he's playing on a bad team? Because typically the players that win the trophy, you know, there's a good team to back them up, and there's a reason, and they normally make the playoffs. Is that something that's going to hold him back if he doesn't, you know, if the Stars don't make the playoffs?
I mean, Carlson won it a few years back when he was on the Senators, and he was minus 50, so I don't see any reason why Heiskanen can't win the Norris.
The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL team and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo codes THPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game, and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Well, let me get into some other things about this game as well. Is there anything specific that you wanted to talk about before I ask my first question? Because I think this question is going to be kind of the fully loaded one right now. Many Stars fans.
Yeah, faceoff percentage was great tonight. 64-37. Loved that all night long. That's how we were able to keep that sustained pressure, especially in the last 10 minutes. And like James was talking about, we weren't able to really get that going for the most part at the end of games. We were able to do that, and we put on a ton of pressure. We just still couldn't bury it. So I really like the face-offs.
All right, so this is going to get into the big conversation of Rick Bowness, obviously. And you know, with Rick Bowness and, you know, everyone talking about how he needs to go, I really don't think he's going anywhere. I don't want that to happen, because if the Stars continue on this pace where they're going to be, you know, not living up to their potential of what we expected them to be, there needs to be a change. But just based off of the way that Jim Knoll talked this summer, he said that Bonus was going to get a full year with a full healthy lineup, no matter what. And he seemed to be, you know, fully on that, and that seems to be the belief around Stars fans that he's not going anywhere. Is that possible, or will the results themselves, if they're just that bad, will that change Jim Knoll's mind?
Watch the knuckle cracking. That's disgusting. But
again?
No.
Can I do it again?
According, oh my gosh, I will leave right now. But no, you're right. According to Jim Knoll, and the way that he manages hockey teams, there's no way Bones is getting fired. So I'm fully on board the fire Bones train. And I am also of the mindset that that is not going to happen at all. So, yeah, I agree with you fully.
What are some of the things that Bonus is doing that you completely disagree with and why he should be fired? Because especially for you, you've talked about several, but go ahead and lay them out there.
Yeah, well, even just now, I talked about the line changes on the second period. Right. Especially last season a lot, but he talks about how the players need to prepare themselves and pretty much takes all the blame away from him. Like, there's something you can do as a coach to make them be better prepared. The lineups, I hate. I have no idea why Foxa is centering Ben and Radulov to start this game. It makes no sense. Ben played great at center last year. He's played, I think, two games this year at center. I don't know why that hasn't been happening more to try and get things jump-started. He claimed it was because whenever Ben plays center, it messes with the lineup. But you put Ben on the third line, or maybe you put Fox on the first line, however you want to look at it. You made the lines crazy anyway with putting Fox at center for those guys. That makes no sense to me. The time on ice stuff is ridiculous. We talked about it a ton last season, but he doesn't play Roope and Gurrie enough. And he made excuses for that as well. He's like, well, Gurianov takes shorter shifts. Well, give him more shifts then. Like, you've got to increase his time on
ice.
He's
a young guy. He's a young guy. He can handle it. He's 20, exactly. 23, right? 23.
I don't know. He's young. He's around my age, a little bit older. But, and then, especially this last game, benching Gurianov was atrocious. Since in part of benching him, he didn't just say his defensive stuff. I could fully agree if it was just his defensive stuff. And he said that about Radulov when he benched him a couple of times. He said, Radulov has been bad at defense. He's got to figure it out. And he would figure it out the next games. But he blamed his offense, too, when he's top five in almost every offensive stat. So he's just wrong. So he does. It feels like he doesn't know what he's talking about when he says stuff like that. He makes him sound stupid. So those are the reasons why I think we need a coaching change. Well, and the other one, his style is the big one. His style is to play 90s hockey and to win games 2-1. And with us having guys like Roope and Robertson and Gurianov and Heiskanen, such great offensive skills in a league that is progressively getting more and more offensive, and the best teams are winning because they score 3 or 4 goals every night, it doesn't work. It's not working. It hasn't worked. It worked in the playoffs, and I think it can work in the playoffs. That's where it can work best. But we can't get there right now with the way that he's managing this team. Okay. And that's the big
Let me be devil's advocate for a little bit, because I agree with you on everything, but here's the blowback of what some people would say, I think. Well, what about the New York Islanders? The Islanders play a very defensive style game. But the difference between our system and whatever the Islanders are doing is that the Islanders are scoring goals. So what I would really like to do is maybe watch some Islander games and see if we can pick up on anything that the Islanders are doing that maybe we can implement into our system. And maybe that's something we can do.
I can tell you what they're doing. They're scoring 3 goals a night.
Well,
still.
Right. Yeah, specifically, but obviously they're not doing like a dump and chase kind of thing, right? Because, I mean, even though they like wear you down physically and they wear you down defensively, you know, I'm constantly seeing that team score 3, 4, 5 goals, you know, on a consistent basis. And there's a reason why that team has been very successful in the playoffs as well, is because that style of hockey in the playoffs works. And that's what wins in the playoffs. And it seems like it's starting to translate over into the into the regular season, because the Islanders are getting confident about how they play. So so what would you say to somebody that says, James is saying the same thing, that doesn't happen anywhere anymore, winning games, you know, 2-1, 1-0, that kind of thing. But what do you say to somebody like that that tells you that?
They're wrong. I mean, go look at all the scores in the NHL. You won't find a team winning 2-1 every single night. It doesn't happen.
It doesn't.
It's not sustainable. It's obviously not sustainable. So
it really is. I mean, like, look at the, here's just the 3 games that are going on tonight. So the Stars lost 4-2. Toronto won 3-0, and then Minnesota, well, they just scored another goal. Minnesota just scored a fifth goal, and it's 39 seconds left to go in the fifth period against Arizona, so they're up 5-1. When you score three goals, you generally win the game, unless you're the Stars and you play the Canucks and lose 6-3.
But even that's an outlier, too. Like, the games that we have won, the games we have won have generally been because we scored three goals. And the ones that we won when we scored two was because Holtby was stupid crazy.
Or we won in a shootout, which, you know, the third goal doesn't really count in a shootout.
Yeah, that's not a goal.
Or in overtime, that doesn't really count in either because it's 3-3.
I'll count it in overtime. You still have to make a play. And then shootout, it's like, who they don't even give the goal to anybody. It doesn't even make sense.
So, what are some other storylines that we need to talk about coming out of tonight's game?
We're like one out of our past eight, I think. James, give me the stats on that. I don't even know, but we've lost a lot of games recently. We're getting
1-4-1 or 1-4-2. One of those.
We're falling so deep below 500 that it's beginning to look very difficult to get out of it. So if we lose the next one, we're like three games in the hole. So,
right, and then, you know, honestly, the positive out of this. This next stretch of games, 9 out of 11 are at American Airlines Center. So being at home, I mean, hopefully that would help a little bit.
We're not but playing the other, easy teams, though.
That's the other thing. And the other thing I was going to mention is that the fact that a lot of these upcoming games are against the Central Division. So we can gain on some of these teams if we can win these games. But, you know, we're in November. The season started almost a month ago, and the Stars still have not won in regulation. So assuming that we actually win games and we still don't win in regulation, we're still giving other teams a point in our division. And that, I mean, this is their chance to actually, like, take the reins and flip it around. And this was not a good start to that 9-11 stretch. So I guess the other thing we should talk about is, how do they increase goal scoring? What do the Stars need to do to increase goal scoring? Do they just need to honestly, at this point, if I'm the coach, I just take everybody and blend all the lines together. I don't even care.
I mean, we've been doing that.
I'm talking about, like, funky, weird stuff and just throwing stuff together and seeing what sticks.
Fox and Guriana of Radulov sounds pretty funky to me.
I'm talking like Foxa, Sagan, Glendening, something stupid like that. Because obviously nothing is working. And James is like, don't be stupid. But yeah. Honestly, nothing's working. My vote
is to still shake something up. And like we said, not the coach isn't going to be shooken up. I think now is time to bring in the secret weapon. Walk towards the mound. Put your fingers on your elbow. Bring in the left-hander. And bring in our adorable little otter back from the AHL. And what that would mean is that you're putting someone on waivers, and they're probably getting picked up. And I'm cool with that. Something's got to change. If we need a great goalie to get us out of here, so be it. I think it's Otter time. I mean, they're not playing outstanding anymore. I mean, Hudobin was never really playing outstanding, but Holtby was. He's come back to earth.
A little bit,
I mean, we're in a slump. Something's got to change. Something's got to give. That's the thing that I think Nil might actually do. He won't fire the coach. I know we keep saying that we want him to. We can scream that as loud as we want. It's not going to happen. But he might bring up his goaltender. Hopefully he does that.
What about Bishop? We haven't heard anything about Bishop. Has an opportunity of coming back?
He's available to come off the LTIR. But if he
it was like yesterday or the day before or something like that.
If he could have, he would have, in my opinion. I mean, I'm not hopeful on that. I'm pretty sure he's done by now. I think he's going to keep trying all season, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Because, boy, could we use him right now. I thought that, you know, something might change with bringing up Thomas Harley, and Harley's looked okay.
I've liked him. Okay. every game he's getting more and more confident in himself, especially tonight. You saw him, he almost got a breakaway. He was chasing pucks down below the icing line. He's gotten much more aggressive. He made a couple of great defensive plays. He made that one awesome defensive play that Ben just threw right back to the Predators player right afterwards. So I thought Harley has been outstanding and definitely more impactful than Sekera. I thought Sekera was doing a good job of laying low and doing his job quietly, mm-hmm. but Harley is making his presence known and is impacting these games. And I think it's only a matter of time before he gets even better. The issue with that, I don't think we're going to keep him long enough because of AHL to NHL contract stuff. If you keep him in the NHL for too long, you have to pay him an NHL player's salary, something like that. I don't know how it works exactly for Harley. I haven't looked into it, but I think we're going to run into a situation like that. So I don't think he's going to stay up here for the long haul, but man, I wish he would.
Did you like him with Miro Heiskanen?
He's
been paired more with Miro Heiskanen lately, the past couple of games.
I like that, and I like it because he's also a bigger guy. He's a bigger guy that's more athletic than Hakanpaa is. So I think it's a really good balance there. I've really liked watching it. I think they work well together too. Yeah, he's a little shaky in his own zone with the puck sometimes, but he's getting better and better too.
He's a rookie. He's gonna make mistakes.
Yeah, he's gotten better every game too. That's why I'm encouraged by it more than anything.
The
worst part.
The only thing I am worried about with him is that, you know, I'm not trying to pull a nil or a bonus here, but I'm afraid that if we keep him up here too long, that hurts his development actually. Because he's playing every night. He's not going to get the same minutes though that he would.
James, how many minutes did he get? Pull it up right now.
Now the interesting thing James did pull up for us is that Harley was +2 tonight. He was the highest on the team, and I know you hate that stat, but in a single game that says something.
What's his face? Number three. What's number three
Klingberg?
On our team?
Are yeah, Klingberg. Did you really just do that?
I straight forgot his name, dude.
Straight forgot the guy who's been on our team for like 7 years.
He was -3 tonight. But that was because he was on the ice for 25 minutes. So it's a stupid stat.
Yeah, James says he was only on there for 12 minutes and 28 seconds tonight.
Whatever. Play him more. He looked good in those 12 minutes.
Well, maybe we'll see him more. And maybe that's another answer. You know that I've been thinking about that more, the whole Otter thing. I think that could do something.
It's something.
Maybe
like,
kick. It's something different, and they may play better defensively in front of him if there's a younger guy in front of them.
Yeah,
I'm really starting to like that idea. And
it's the only idea that's plausible too that can change. Like,
and
I mean,
it's the only thing
Bones
that Bill would
changing.
Consider. Yeah, right. Yeah. Bonus is not going to go anywhere.
Bones' mentality is not going to change. He's like 200 years old. So that's what I can see happening, and I hope it happens.
I really, and I truly do believe this. I think it's just a matter of time before this team starts exploding offensively. There's just something holding this team back, and other than Bonus is what I'm saying. There's something else there that's holding us back other than Bonus. So I'm bringing it up again. I'm really starting to like that Otter idea. So maybe we'll see him.
Let's do it.
Yep, let's do it.
Okay, free Otter. #FreeOtter.
#FreeOtter. Do it stop. On Twitter. Let's hear it.
Stop the #FireBones. Hop on the #FreeOtter.
Because FireBonus is not happening, so at least we can try something that might happen.
Let's go.
All right. Anything else you want to say, Chris, tonight before we close it out?
It's hot in here. If anyone wants to fix our AC for free, that'd be cool. Just hit us up.
#FreeChris.
Free Chris from the heat.
Anyways, guys, go ahead.
These clothes are about to come off, so that's going to free me a little bit. So.
Whoa. Too much. Just wait.
Yeah.
That'll
be in the after
we'll
show.
Be off.
That's in our Patreon.
Anyways, guys, we will catch you guys on the next PGR. James, I think he already told us. I think the next game is Saturday against the Flyers, I believe, at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
We will be back maybe, I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe, probably not.
We might not be, but we'll see.
We probably won't be there Saturday, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyways.
That means we'll probably win, though, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's what we need to do. We just need to
stop PGRs.
Stop PGRs, and they might actually win. Anyways, once again, another shout out to Zach. Zach, we love you. We're looking forward to seeing you. Very happy for you getting married here on Sunday. Anyways, guys, we'll catch you guys on the next PGR. Make sure you follow us on all our social media accounts. Once again, please make sure that you go and use the DraftKings app and use the promo code THPN. That lets them know that we sent you. And we really appreciate them for sponsoring us and then sponsoring all of the Hockey Podcast Network. Along with Chris, I'm Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Y'all have a fantastic and beautiful, wonderful evening.